Continuing on with the biochar, he's going to talk about the carbon nanotubes, right? Yeah. There's a pointer right here.
Hello, everyone. My talk today is about the microbial degradation of the carbon nanotube by a pure culture system. So this is mainly done by postdoc Dr. Ya Qiyu, and we also have collaborators from UMass Amherst, Peking University, and UC Davis. And I acknowledge financial support from the Department of Agriculture. So I think like the most audience here is probably aware of the emerging problem with engineered nanomaterials. Here, just some brief background. Like, we have used the nanomaterials for various, like, the customer products, and even we maybe do not realize that, like, in the rackets or the electronic devices, like, by the number, we have probably 18, 14 products, like, the using those nanoparticles. And here is just a classical image compared the nanofiber with the human hair. Like, if you have not imagined that, that's a comparison for the size. And one of the important, like the nanomaterials, is a carbon nanotube, so which has these cylinder structures composed mainly of the aromatic rings. And this is just an increasing trend for the production and also publication and the patent for the carbon nanotube. So it's like has been used in the real world for the painting, for the devices. And only in the United States, like so every year, we are producing like 1,000 tons of carbon nanotube. So for these materials, after their usage life, they will most likely end up in the sewage sludge. And when we are interested in applying them for the agricultural purpose or the soil amendment, then they probably can release back to the soil or acres environment. To be like, it's a very interesting question to us to look at how this nanotube is processed by the microbial processes and also like potentially taken up by the agriculture plant, which can affect the food safety. So we have used a pure culture of a bacteria called like Mycobacterium pyr1, so which is a strain like the known to be able to degrade the high molecular weight polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, such as like 5 benzene rings and completely to CO2. Because this pH shares a similar structure skeleton as a nanotube, so it triggers us, okay, this strain might be able to do something for the nanotube. So then we incubate this strain with a pristine carbon nanotube and in the presence of other carbon source like glucose or glucose plus pyrene. And this is just a growth curve, and this is the time. And what we found here is like the compared to the control, which is this curve, and this is just with a different concentration of nanotube. We can see that the growth of the bacteria is stimulated. And when we fit the curve, we found the lag phase is definitely shrinked like by the presence of the carbon nanotube. And similarly, like for the system with pyrene as additional carbon source, although the effect is more significant for the system with glucose as the only carbon source. So this is for the pristine carbon nanotube system, which means like this nanotube like surface is now like the further functionalized. And then we also incubate with a carboxylic functionalized nanotube, and we found the similar like the effects. So compared to the control here, we also see the carboxylic nanotube stimulate the growth of this string PYR1, also shrink their length phase time, and the effect is more significant for a system with only glucose. But we also did some incubation of the string with nanotube as only carbon source, like no glucose, no pyrene, then the bacteria didn't grow. So that means like somehow this bacteria is tolerant of the nanotube can help them grow, but the bacteria can still not use the nanotube as a pure like the carbon or energy source. So then we look at how the nanotube is transformed like upon the incubation with this strain. So this is just like the transmission electronic microscope image. And for the pristine carbon nanotube and the carboxylic nanotube, and the left image is for the original, and this is for after incubation for like 20 days. For original nanotube, it's pretty clear. We can see those cylinder structure, and we can even counter the layers for this nanotube. But after incubation, this, like the relatively crystalline or outer structure is just gone. Like the, here we just have some typical image shown, but we have tons of this similar image. Like we, like my postdoc really spent lots of time trying to collect the enough image to show that statistically. So that means like the, based on the morphology, we see the nanotube is like changed or transformed. The crystalline structure is like the broken down. We don't know whether it's like the just the cut down it to the shorter tube we cannot capture, or just the pier is like layer by layer. Yeah, we don't know those like the detailed magnets by this point. Like from the TM, we know it's changed, but we cannot quantify that. So we further pursue some like Raman spectra for this nanotube. And so like very left, this is original like the spectra for the carbon nanotube. Like we just have this D band, G band for the fingerprint feature. And the very right, this is abiotic control. So just a buffer, like we still see this D band, G band, and also the DG ratio is not really changed. And the middle one is incubation with the bacteria. Then for the pristine carbon nanotube, so what we found here is that we still see this D band, G band. But the like the ratio of the D band to the G band is like the substantially increased, and the G band is meaning like attributed to those crystalline or outer structure, while this D band is like those more amorphous structure. So like that means like for the pristine carbon nanotube, this bacteria makes the material like more amorphous. Like for the carboxylic nanotube, we even cannot see those like the bands. It's like something else. So like from the Raman spectra, we see it's like the, we can more quantitatively show, demonstrate that the nanotube is like the degraded. And to further quantify that, we just calculate the ID-IG ratio based on the bunch of the analysis. Like we measured the points from 40 to like 160. And we did the average value, and also this is box chart. So yeah, this is a nanotube after incubation with bacteria. This is abiotic control. This is original. And this is for the pristine. And this part is for the carboxylic. So the two major observations here is that, like compared to the control, like the average ID-IG ratio for the sample after incubation significantly increased. We have done the statistic test. And the other thing is that it's become like more, like they have higher variations for the sample after incubation. So that means like this incubation make the nanotube like more amorphous and also more heterogeneous. Okay, so it's like the has lots of the different materials after this reaction. But this gave us a little bit better quantification for how the nanotube is really changed. Like we also have done some like mass spectroscopy work to try to capture like the degradation products, but the thing we so far just captured is something with a molecular weight of 3,000. But without the standard, we cannot really pin out what's it. So it's like maybe some big particles or the big chunk or big piece of the degradation products. Then we, with this Raman spectra, we further using the 2D, the confocal Raman to show the image of this D band and G band for the original material. This is original material, G band, D band, for the carboxylic nanotube. This is the nanotube, like after incubation for the same, like the band or the same, like the wavelength. So for the original one, we can see them, like the coexisted pretty well. Like the size of this spot is probably around 2 to 1, like the micrometer. So here is the scale bar. But for the sample after degradation, we do not see them coexist animals. So that means like we still see some signal, but it's like the not existing the same spot. So that means like this indicates, okay, this stuff, this material is also altered. And also the area, the region for this D band, which is more amorphous, materials is also with the size of like the 2 to 1 micrometer. So that means like the, we also captured some like the degradation products with the size of relatively large, which is consistent with our like the mass spectroscopy work. We didn't see those like the small compounds potentially like the generated from this degradation. So it probably not completely like the degraded to those like really small compounds. And lastly, not leastly, we also try to quantify whether the nanotube is partially mineralized. So this is just we incubate the nanotube, incubate the bacteria with the nanotube as RNA carbon source in an enclosed system. Then we just monitor the CO2 change in the hand space. Then this is the background for the bacteria. We see a very slight increase. Then this is blue line is for the sample with the pristine carbon nanotube. We see an increase around like 100 ppm or whatever. Then for the carbon nanotube, we see a big increase, like up to like 1000 ppm, up to 3 days. And based, if we assume this is meaning from the nanotube, then like so we can see around like 1% of nanotube like the completely mineralized within 3 days. It's not much, but this at least give us some hint. Okay, maybe just a minor portion of the carbon nanotube is like the mineralized. Like although in this experiment we acknowledge that we cannot really tease out the contribution of the nanotube stimulated like background respiration. So that's something we are also trying to work with some radio labeled like nanotube to tease out like whether we really see the mineralization from the nanotube. But the bottom line is if there's a mineralization, it's pretty low. And also the mineralization is more significant for the carbon nanotube compared to the pristine nanotube. So like I think our evidence collectively indicates that these bacteria able to like the degrade the pH can also transform or degrade the nanotube and maybe even further mirror them to the CO2. And before I ramp up, I also want to mention that we're also working with some plant uptake, which is to culture the lentils with the nanotube in the culture solution. We try to look at how the nanotube is taken up by this agriculture plant. And we have been using Raman spectra to analyze the uptake and the translocation of nanotube in this plant. If we directly, and here is just like physical physiological response of the agriculture plant to the nanotube. If we this is just a root length, like for the sample and for the control, like the nanotube can even stimulate the root growth of the lentils, especially those like the shorter root. So it's like change the morphology of the root structure. And if we look at the detection of the nanotube in the plant materials, if we directly take the plant material for Raman, we cannot see the nanotube. So we have tried using this digestion like the method. We just use different agents to digest the plant leaf, stem, and root. Then we can capture this D band and G band. So the spectra I shown here is just for the method development. We can capture those materials. But like we indeed found one sample like in the leaf, we can capture the nanotube for the sample incubated with nanotube in the culture solution. So that means like at least those preliminary data encourage us to suspect that the nanotube can be taken up by this lentils and even translocated from the root to the leaf. I think with seeing that, like I want to stop with my talk. Like the take-home message is like we have found this bacteria like transform or degrade the nanotube, and also nanotube can potentially be taken up by the agriculture plant. And thank you for your attention, and take any question if time. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you think it's going through the physical wound, like a cut on the root, or do you think there's any particular mechanism for particles to go through?
Yeah, that's definitely a good question. We are still trying to figure out. Like this. Right now, we just use the Raman spectra, try to detect the nanotube in the different tissues. What we found so far is like in the root, in the leaf, we can capture that. But in the sternum, we didn't see that. So it seemed like there is translocation, but maybe it's like not really stopped in the like transportation way. And the other thing, like we are trying to use is to use the confocal Raman to look at the micro scale distribution of the nanotube inside the tissues. Like the, then we can figure out how the nanotube is really taken up and translocated. But the short answer is I don't know like at this point. I think like the pixel can be like the maybe 50 to 100 like the nanometer, so like the, that can capture some at least the aggregates of the nanotube.
Thank you very much.